This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, Tommy, guess what? I just got back from driving the all-new Toyota Land Cruiser.
Yeah, and I can't wait to talk about it on today's podcast because this is one of the most exciting vehicles of the year.
Yeah, and we can talk about it and kind of my driving impressions. And then there's a little bit of controversy that got stirred up on the program. I'll bring that up as well. And then we can also talk about how it compares to the 4Runner, which we did a very special podcast on last week. And then we can also mention the GX because it's hard now to pick an off-road worthy Toyota because there's so many.
Yeah, for sure. And we're going to talk about what you thought of how it drove off-road, some of the cool features of this vehicle, and whether or not it is worth the money.
Yeah. So let's talk about the money. You want to configure one?
Yeah, for sure. So the new Land Cruiser is a lot more affordable than the old one, but it's also a lot smaller and has some different options. So it starts at $55,950 for the Land Cruiser 1958.
With round headlights.
Yep. And that's before any options. And I think that's also before destination. So realistically, you're going to be like in the mid to high 50s. Then the Land Cruiser edition is $61,950.
So nice, they named it twice.
Except I was talking to the marketing gal behind it.
Yeah.
And she said they're just going to call it the Toyota Land Cruiser.
So it's not the Land Cruiser?
No, it's not like the Ferrari LaFerrari.
But see, in the configurator, it says Land Cruiser.
Right.
And it says build your 2024 Land Cruiser, and then the model is Land Cruiser.
It is a little confusing.
Yes.
I do agree. And then the one that are coming out first is the Land Cruiser First Edition, $74,950. So that's a lot of money. It's got all of the goodies. It's got, you know, the off-road stuff and the little roof rack on it. So that's the one that's going to be hitting dealers first. But, you know, mid-70s for a Land Cruiser, that's some big money.
Yeah, I
well,
mean,
for the new Land Cruiser.
For the new Land Cruiser. Yeah. So let's talk about the old Land Cruiser for a second because we actually owned 200 series. We actually own an 80 series right now. So we are, you know, pretty deep into the Land Cruiser world. And I think, you know, what's changed between the 200 series and the newest 2024 version is they've kind of gone back to their roots. And I don't want to get confused with all like the Prados and the different, you know, 250 versions in Europe. Let's just talk about the Americans because I think American versions because I think that's what, you know, we know the best. So I don't want to necessarily talk about stuff that we haven't driven.
Okay.
So, you know, let's face it. The Land Cruiser 200 series, which you're showing right now, is that ours? No, that's the Heritage Edition.
Mm-hmm.
Just got a little kind of too bougie, right? The problem I think that Toyota saw with it was that it was actually encroaching into Lexus territory. And if not just encroaching, but actually surpassing Lexus territory, right? That Heritage Edition was well over $100,000.
They were a little bit less expensive than that. They were like 90s. So they were, you know, still under six figures, but look,
in the real war, they were 100, dude.
Yeah, that's true, after markups.
Yeah.
I think the 200 series was a really cool vehicle. And there's a big following around 200 series. And, you know, they didn't sell very many because it is hard to justify, like you said, spending 80, 90, 100 grand for a Toyota in the U.S. We're very brand conscious.
Yeah.
But a Land Cruiser person always went out and bought a Land Cruiser. And Toyota knew that there was, granted, a relatively small subset of people that had to have that Land Cruiser. Because the Land Cruiser stands for not only off-road capability, but durability. It was a Toyota engineered to last. They would never say this, but unofficially, 250,000 miles, where standard Toyotas typically last 150,000 miles, or at least that's what they're engineered to before major failure.
Hey, podcast listeners and TFL Talk viewers. I wanted to take a minute to talk to you about a quick and simple way to sell your car or truck with the help of our new partner, HiRoad. With HiRoad's online portal, you enter your vehicle's VIN number or plate, mileage, and zip code, and you'll get competing offers from several qualified dealers in your area within seconds. You pick the best deal offered and follow through with the dealer to sell your car. No more managing scammy emails from buyers on Craigslist or Facebook Marketplace. No more time wasted on no-show buyers. No bait and switch with a "will you take a check" excuse from sketchy buyers. Now keep in mind, these offers will be for trade-in values of your vehicle. If you want to go through the hassle of getting more for your car, that's up to you. But if you want to sell your car hassle-free and fast, go to tflcar.com and click Sell Your Car in the navigation menu. Or click on the HiRoad ad at the bottom of the website if you're on mobile, or click on the column if you're on a desktop. HiRoad makes it easy, and we like easy.
Yeah, and the cool thing about the Land Cruiser, at least the last one, was that it had this great reputation of being very reliable, very comfortable, very well built for people in the know, right? So if you were a Kardashian, you'd get the G-Wagon, which has all his baggage that's associated with it.
Yeah.
But you know, if you lived someplace that was very wealthy and you wanted to kind of not be showy and not kind of scream, "I've got a ton of money," you would get the Land Cruiser, because people in the know understood that it was comfortable, it was luxurious, but it didn't scream, you know, what the G-Wagon screams, which is, you know, "I've got way too much money."
And they would last, you know, your entire life, right? They would go without difficulty.
It had kind of an every person vibe to it.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, that here's the thing, right? Starting in the 1990s is really when Land Cruiser shifted from a very utilitarian vehicle to a more luxury-oriented vehicle, right? With the 80 series, we started seeing leather and intermittent wipers and luxuries like that, right? And then in the 100 series, it got
power antenna.
Yeah, right. In the 100 series, it got, you know, the heated seats and the navigation system, and they got more luxurious.
And the cool box.
And the cooled box. And 200 series went even wilder on top of that. And then with the new Land Cruiser, they decided to tone it down a little. Now, this is where, Dad, we are going to have to go into that territory that you don't want to go into a little bit, because alongside the big Land Cruiser, there's always been a slightly smaller one abroad.
Yes.
Called the Prado.
Right.
Which was sold here as the GX.
Right.
Right.
Lexus.
Yeah. And now, for the first time, when they killed the 200 series in 2021, they said it's not coming back. It did come back, but it didn't come back as the 300 series. It came back as the little mini version.
Yeah. So what they did was they kind of changed it from being a G-Wagon, or better yet, a Range Rover competitor with the 200 series, to now being more of a Wrangler / 4Runner / let's say Bronco competitor with the latest version of it. And I say that with a big asterisk, because obviously the Bronco and the Wrangler are convertibles, whereas the Land Cruiser is not. But it made it much more back to basics, back to its original roots, where you can make it something that you could like daily drive every day and not have to go to the bank and get a loan that will mortgage your house.
Right.
And I'm saying that very well aware that $55,000 is still a lot of money for a car.
It is a lot of money.
But coming from $90,000, it makes it feel affordable.
Yeah. And, you know, I think it was a good decision because, like we said, the 200 series did sell to the Land Cruiser people. But because it was so expensive, I think that they really did price themselves out of a lot of people that were considering, you know, a fully loaded Bronco or a Wrangler or even a Grand Cherokee. This is more of a Grand Cherokee competitor in some ways. But now at the $50,000, $60,000 mark, it's going to be targeted to a much larger audience. So I think it was a really smart decision. And if you do want a 300 series Land Cruiser, you can still buy one in the States. It's just called the Lexus LX.
Yeah. If you want to be bougie.
Yeah, if you want to be bougie. Exactly right.
So I think most people were happy with that decision. You know, we've done a boatload of videos on everything Land Cruiser. And so I was, Tommy, super excited when I saw that they both had the 1958 edition and the Land Cruiser model to drive and to compare. And so Andre and I got behind the wheel of both of them and took them on this course that Toyota built, which, you know, was... I was listening to a bunch of podcasts. I was listening to some people, and they were all like, what a great course they built. But, you know, I'm always very skeptical. And so they will never build a course that the vehicle can't do. Mm-hmm. So usually what the courses are designed to do is show off the capability of the vehicle without actually testing the capability of the vehicle. And this was very much the case with the Land Cruiser. You know, I was listening, like I say, some podcasts, some videos, and people were talking about, oh, you got 30 degrees sideways. I'm like, that's not really a test of a vehicle, right? There are those, once upon a time, Range Rover Land Rover had these, slopes that they built out in front of their dealerships that did the same thing.
So, yeah,
so,
yeah, yeah.
So you can be very scared at 30 degrees, but it's the center of gravity of the vehicle. Most vehicles will do that. Let alone tall off-roaders. So you could do that with a Camry, for instance. So I got to say, I was disappointed in what Toyota had built. They had like two rock gardens. They had kind of this small river crossing. And then they had some, like, you know, some hills and some descents. And to be fair, Tommy, I've gone in the last 14 years on a lot of programs and for off-roaders. And they break down into basically two categories. When we were going on Subaru, it was like the Subarus of the world, the Toyotas of the world, and think of any other potential off-roaders where either they build a course or they take you someplace that's relatively mild, that doesn't really test a vehicle, and they don't want to put the journalist or the vehicles in danger. And then there are two exceptions to that rule, and that is Jeep and Land Rover. Jeep and Land Rover, when you go on a program that's off-road, you will do some serious off-roading. Like, best example of that is when we ran the Rubicon Trail, which is, you know, this is a 13-mile trail that takes 2 days to do.
Yeah, it's a tough route,
and
for
sure. And with Jeep, we ran that in a Wrangler, and we ran that in a Gladiator. And I remember doing very similar things with Range Rovers and with Land Rovers, where you're out in the wild, and you're out there really trying to test a vehicle to its utmost, and the manufacturer doesn't seem to be afraid of putting it in danger.
Now, Toyota has had a couple trips, though, where they did do some pretty cool off-roading. I did one trip where we drove from Moab to Telluride, and we actually did Hell's Revenge in Moab in a series of TRD Pro models, so that was some good off-roading. But you're right, for the most part, especially for a new vehicle launch, they are pretty timid with what they put their vehicles through. You know, it's their program. They can kind of choose to do that. So,
and I was kind of expecting, you know, to be crossing the Serengeti. It's a Land Cruiser, right?
Yeah, you know, it's just on a little rock pile.
Yeah, it's like Toyota's most iconic nameplate, you know. So we should have been in Moab with the beautiful arches behind us or someplace, you know, where the Land Cruiser name actually has, you know, some kind of a reputation instead of this kind of man-made course. So anyway, that's enough of my whining and whinging. But we took it on the course, and immediately what I felt is that the car is sprung more or set up more for on-road use than off-road use. And ironically, we really didn't have a chance to drive it on-road. So it felt like it was an on-road car that you can take off-road versus, let's say, a Wrangler, which is an off-road car that you can take on-road. In other words, a Wrangler feels much better off-road than it does on-road. And this felt good off-road. But, you know, like we went on this little rock garden and then Andre kind of hit it a little bit too hard and we bashed a rock with the skid plate. And that was because the suspension was just not, taunt enough to actually give us enough road and ground clearance to actually not hit that rock. So I as much as I love the ride off-road, I kind of feel like there's a lot of room for aftermarket parts, wheels, tires, to actually make this, you know, the Land Cruiser that many people think it should be.
Well, I mean, the ground clearance is also not super huge on this vehicle. I think it's something like 8.6 inches is what Toyota claims. And, you know, the first one out the door is going to go right to a Toyota shop, and we're going to see lifts on these immediately. That's going to be addressed pretty quickly.
And you got to figure there might be, if I were Toyota, I'd actually be thinking of this, a TRD Pro version coming, which will give you whatever, you know, you're going to stick with their current lineup, Fox Shocks, and maybe even a Trail Hunter version, which will have Old Man Emu.
You could be right, but there wasn't a TRD Pro version of the last Land Cruiser.
No, there we had to build one, remember?
Yeah, we tried to build one. Yeah, so
having said that, I was not unhappy with it off-road. I mean, it has all the off-road cred, so there is a lockable rear diff. There is a disconnectable sway bar.
Which is awesome.
There are certainly plenty of ground clearance. If you had the right version, the tires were, you know, certainly off-roady and grippy enough for that course. But definitely much more of an overlanding rig than, you know, a rock crawler rig, the way that at least the two that we drove were set up.
Well, and I think that's always been kind of the Land Cruiser ethos. It's apart from maybe some cool folks that are doing some crazy stuff with the 40 series, the little Jeepy ones from the 70s, it is a long distance tourer. It's designed to tackle continents, right, and not so much the Rubicon Trail. So it kind of makes sense that maybe it's not intended to be a rock crawler. However, they did, like you mentioned, they did some really cool stuff on this vehicle, like the locking rear diff, like the locking center diff, like the sway bar disconnect, that do allow you to do some of those cool, maybe crawling sections, even if it's not fully intended for that.
And I got to say, I love the design language of it. You know, I would get the base model, the 1958, all day long, especially if you could, you know, maybe get the cloth interior, which I think is a great off-road. And I would rock that thing as a daily driver that I would occasionally take off-road. And I would be very happy, Tommy. Plenty of power out of the powertrain. And, you know, we know that powertrain because it's the same powertrain that's basically in our Tacoma.
A little different, though.
With the hybrid.
Standard hybrid yeah. Look, I don't know if you feel this way. I did spend a little bit of time in the 1958 at the launch.
Yep.
I didn't drive it, but I did get to poke around it. It's not a very premium feeling interior.
No, it's very basic. It's very like Corolla-ish in a lot of ways. And I actually love that because that's what I want in my off-roader.
I agree. I love that too. But for $57,000 after destination, I would want some more quality materials in there. I mean, yeah. It's kind of a big ask for that interior.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, so I'll give you the pluses and the minuses. The pluses are visibility, straight upright windshield.
It's awesome.
Very comfortable seats, lots of room behind the second row. As far as I know, there won't be a third row. If you want that, you're going to have to go with the 4Runner.
Yep, no third row.
You know, the materials feel very high usability rated. You know what I'm not saying high quality, but they just feel like you could, like, you know, if you get dirt or if your dog gets its muddy paws on it, you could just wipe them off and you won't feel bad about it. Yes, there's a lot of hard plastics, especially in the 1958 edition, and you still get kind of very small. I think there are 31s from the factory, which is absurdly small. It's just screaming out for, 33s at least, if not bigger. But in general, when you get behind the wheel and you drive it down a road, it just feels right. You know how some cars just immediately feel right, like everything comes to hand. Everything makes sense. It just feels like this car was designed like a tailored suit around you. That's how I feel about the Land Cruiser. So, yeah, I would rock that thing as a daily driver always. And, yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, at some point I may want nicer materials, especially at the starting point. But the problem then becomes that even Broncos and Jeeps and Defenders – you know, are now at the $60,000 range, right? A Rubicon is going to be at least $60,000.
Sure.
And as far as I know, last time I drove by the Jeep dealership, the only one you can get is a 4xe. And I don't know how much they'll start out at, but I'm sure they're certainly around $55,000. I bet you it's not much off.
Yeah. No, that's a good point. Yeah. And look, there's a couple of cool things that Land Cruiser offers. Like, it's a full-time four-wheel drive, the center differential, so you don't have to go between two high and four high. I think that's a really great feature. And yes, you know, Bronco and Jeep can be had with the 4Auto system, but it functions a little differently in that it's not actually center differential. I don't believe, I think it, you know, because there's a 2-high version as well in those vehicles. So it's more of an electronics-based system, which is fine. But having that third differential is a very expensive and heavy way to engineer a car, but it's also typically very, very durable, which is great. I really do like the design, like you said. I think that's fantastic. I like that the towing capacity, that's another thing we should talk about, 6,000 pound towing capacity. Bronco and Wrangler can barely do 5.
Yeah, it's got a ton of torque with that hybrid.
Yeah, so I can't wait to really get it on the Ike and see how it tows. So I think there's really a lot of potential there for capability. And look, you can't pull the doors off compared to like a Bronco or Wrangler. You can't pull the roof off. And I think that is going to be a detractor for a lot of people. But then you get those 6 letters on the front, which a lot of folks are very confident in is going to be a long-lasting, durable, reliable vehicle. So that's going to sell a lot of these Land Cruisers as well.
There is a little fly in my ointment when it comes to the Land Cruiser. And that is, at the same program, I was able to drive, and I can't talk about that yet because those impressions are still embargoed, the Toyota Tacoma LR, LR3, yeah, Toyota Tacoma TRD Pro, and of course the Trail Hunter, and also see the 4Runner, and there's a new version of the 4Runner for 2025. And just let's just talk about when these vehicles will be available. So the Lexus GX, which kind of lives above the Land Cruiser, we can talk about that. We've driven it, is in dealerships now. The Land Cruiser is hitting dealerships as we speak. And a hint to the wise, I was talking to the Toyota people, and they're built in Japan, and so they deliver the cars to the West Coast, and then they kind of propagate. So if you want one early, go to L.A., go someplace in California, and you'll have an early crack at it. And then the new 4Runner won't come out realistically toward the end of this year. I'm thinking probably more of beginning of next year. But the one that at least if you're being price conscious, and I think even like off-road conscious would be the one I would get, would be the 4Runner Trail Hunter, which, you know, we don't know the pricing on yet.
It's not going to be price conscious at all.
Well, I'm saying compared to the Land Cruiser.
I don't think even compared to
the
Land
Cruiser. So the current 4Runner starts at about $42,000.
Yeah.
So, you know, I figure an SR5 is going to be what, when it comes out, 45, maybe 50,000?
An SR5 is going to be, yeah, mid-40s.
Okay, but let's say that the Trail Hunter is 60. Which it could be.
Or 65, I think it's probably more in line.
Right.
Yeah.
65. But you can, it's still less than the first edition Land Cruiser and about the same as the Land Cruiser.
Sure.
And if I were to line those two up in terms of what you get for off-road worthiness. So with the 4Runner Trail Hunter, you do get the old man Emu shocks.
Yep.
You do get the bigger 33s from the factory.
Uh-huh.
You get a snorkel.
Right.
Right. You get, a windshield that comes in and out, up and down in the back.
Rear window.
You also get, a pretty aggressive 4Runner compared to the current generation.
So you're saying that that's a better deal?
I think, it's probably a better deal because it's going to be, you also get the same powertrain. So there's no difference. You get the 4-cylinder turbo that's hybridized. So I think that's, remember, it's like 325, 26 horsepower and 400 and something pound foot of torque. I don't think it tows as much, but, it's within $1,000. So the question then in my mind is...
1,000 pounds.
Yeah, sorry. Is would I go for the 4Runner Trail Hunter, which I really fell in love with, or would I get the Land Cruiser? And from a value perspective, I'd probably get the 4Runner because it's already built out.
Yeah. Right. I mean, in the past, the argument would be, well, the Land Cruiser is going to be a higher quality vehicle that's going to last potentially longer.
Yeah.
Right. Even though that was never official. And I can ask Toyota,
Why is that Land Cruiser sitting in a pile of...
It's on a rock.
It looks like cow poo.
No, it's on a rock.
It's like a cow patty. Whoever designed that for Toyota, you need to work on that a little better.
Yeah, so I'd like to talk to the Toyota guys and see, is this built to the same standard as a 200 series? And I know their default answer is going to be, we engineer all our cars to meet our rigorous internal testing. That's what they're going to say.
Sure.
So I'm not sure that this vehicle is going to last longer. I mean, I think when you're at that top level 4Runner versus the Land Cruiser, they both have the same wheelbase. They're roughly the same size. They have the same powertrain, like you talked about. It's going to come down to preference and a design standpoint. And I think that's going to really sell a lot of vehicles, right?
And the label, right?
And the name,
People want the Land Cruiser.
Right. A lot of people like that more traditional. And actually, now that I think about it, I wasn't so sure in the first video whether or not it was good, but I'm kind of coming around to it, is that the Land Cruiser is a more traditionally styled vehicle. It's very square. There's not a lot of risks taken. I think it looks great, but it's not, you know, pushing the edge of futurism. Whereas the 4Runner is very blocky. It's got all sorts of crazy angles and swoops and swishes and cool colors and bronze wheels. And like, it really stands out there. So it's going to come down to, at that price point, yes, some of the off-road stuff, which you talked about, but also whether or not you just like the look and the name and the design of the Land Cruiser over the 4Runner.
Yeah, you know, so to me, the new Land Cruiser kind of harkens back to the 80 series that we own. In that, you know, the 80 series was more of a mall crawler in some ways than an off-roader.
The 80 series?
Yeah. I mean, that's how it was used. I know you're looking at me and you're saying you can get that thing triple locked and people, you know, lifted it. But from you know, you spent your childhood driving around from our neighborhood to school in an 80 series. And I think that's how most people used it. I'm not saying I'm not saying it wasn't designed by Toyota to go hard off-roading, because you could, like I said, triple lock it. But the majority of those weren't triple locked, and they ended up being the Suburban.
But that's the same with the 100 series and the 200 series.
Yeah.
And honestly, the 60 series as well.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure it's a return to the 80 series in that way, because the 100s were used just like that as well.
What I miss about the current Land Cruiser, and to me it's the most iconic part of it, are those fold-down seats in the back.
Yeah, you want the third row.
Yeah, I just, you know, because they're mounted to the side, and I'm not sure people used them a lot, because it's kind of a silly way to, you know, it's hard to get in and out.
It also takes up a lot of trunk space.
But it became like so iconic that the Land Cruiser kind of represented what a Land Cruiser was, right? And I kind of missed that in the new one. And ironically, if you look at the new one, they actually have cup holders back there, but no seat.
Well, as I understand it, the reason for that is certain markets abroad are getting a third row.
Yeah.
So certain versions, and Toyota will say, well, the cup holders in the trunk are great for camping. And you know, you're out camping in the back of your car, you want to put your beverages someplace.
That's what they said. You're exactly right. Also, the Trail Hunter, speaking of which, has a compressor in the back.
Which is cool, yeah.
Which is also nice.
I do agree with you. I think you get more. Say the Trail Hunter is 63, which I think is a good bet.
Yeah. Plus markup.
You're going to get more gadgets with the Trail Hunter compared to the Land Cruiser. That's almost for sure. But the Land Cruiser offers that third differential in the transfer case, and it offers some other stuff that kind of counteracts some of the features.
I guess I'm saying is, what's your use case, right? If you want to go and, you know, occasionally off-road and go on the dirt roads, you know, in your neighborhood or in the great American West, but not necessarily go do like Frame Bender and Metal Masher and Poison Spider and Hell's Revenge in Moab, then go with the Land Cruiser. Because if you do want to do that, you're going to have to, I'm serious, you're going to have to build it out. It's just from the factory. It'll do it, but you'll break stuff.
Yeah.
Even with the bash plates.
You're probably going to want some sliders on there for sure. And you're going to want some more aggressive rubber and maybe a little lift. Yeah. But I think a stock Land Cruiser is going to amaze you work and go.
No, I'm not.
You're going to be scraping a little.
It bottomed out pretty quickly when I took it off road.
Sure. Yeah, it's only got 8.6 inches or something is what they claim. Now, here's the pickle.
So if you want to go do Hell's Revenge, get yourself the new Trail Hunter.
But the Land Cruiser will do Hell's Revenge. Yeah, a guy in a Crown Vic did Hell's Revenge, Dad. I think the Land Cruiser will do Hell's Revenge.
Yeah, okay, so I went like this, if you're watching this. Not because I didn't think it would do it, but because I hate bashing on things. I hate breaking things. I hate being hard on things. And yes, you can do it, but you'll bash on it.
Yeah, but it's a Land Cruiser. That's what it's designed to do. It's got skid plates. If you're paying for the skid plate, Dad, you better be using the skid plate. That's my mentality.
Oh, look, we just had the Ineos Grenadier. That also had 31s.
Yeah, and it was fine.
But it had 2 more inches of ground clearance.
So this is the other vehicle that I think also throws a big question into the equation, and that is, for a few $1,000s more, you can spec yourself a GX 550 Overtrail. So we're looking at 69 for this vehicle. And now this is an interesting choice. So 69, that's after destination, 67 beforehand. And this vehicle offers the same capabilities as the Land Cruiser, but with a nicer interior and a V6 instead of a 4-cylinder.
So this might be the one for people, and I'm doing air quotes now, in the know. And the reason I say that is, I don't want to mention who this was, but on the program, I talked to somebody who's very deep into the Toyota world.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if they've announced it yet, so I don't want to be like, taking any splash away from their announcement. But I asked them, you know, which of these three are you buying? And without hesitation, they said GX.
Yeah, I mean,
and then when I say 3, 4Runner, Land Cruiser, or GX.
And GX is a max, depending on how it's configured, of 9,000 pounds of towing, so you get more towing. You still get the locking diff. You get the aggressive tires and the better approach angle compared to the standard GX. So this offers a lot of value, plus you get a much nicer interior. So I kind of think that this is the way to go. There's two versions of the Overtrail. There's the standard one and then the Overtrail Plus. That one's going to be, you know, we're talking $80,000.
And you know, I said at the beginning of this show that, you know, only Jeep and Land Cruiser, Land Rover, I've got Land on my brain now. Only Jeep and a Land Rover do hard off-roading for journalists. Apparently, the program we went on with the GX, they set up a really difficult course. But unfortunately, the day we were there, it got rained out. So we got so I don't want to like leave the impression that Toyota's not doing hard off-roading. We went on a dirt road with it. And I talked to some other people who actually got to go on the off-road course, and they said it was very difficult. But then I also thought to myself, you know, I talked to a lot of journalists who go on Subaru programs, and they say they're very difficult. And then I look at the program, and I'm like, that doesn't look difficult.
Yeah.
It's you know, it's kind of what you're used to.
It's a spectrum for sure. Yeah. No, I think the GX is an interesting proposition. I think for me, I need to take both of them off-road and compare. I personally like the look of the Land Cruiser a little more than the GX, but people love this new GX, and I think rightfully so. It's a really attractive vehicle, not saying it isn't. But I also like the hybrid system. Four-cylinder, maybe get a little bit more efficiency, and I don't need to tow. So the Land Cruiser, for me, I think is a better option. But if you're already in that $60,000 to $65,000 territory, it's not a stretch to think that those folks may be able to afford $67,000, $69,000.
Yeah, and I don't want to come across as sounding, you know, we're only comparing these based on how good they are off-road, because that's kind of where this conversation is going. But the truth of the matter is, all three are great on-road, right? And I keep thinking to myself, they're all very comfortable. The new, well, we haven't driven the 4Runner, so I can't tell if it's, I'm just assuming it's going to be good off on road because it's basically based on Tacoma, which we own. Mm-hmm. So if it drives like the Tacoma, it's just going to be really good on road, very comfortable, much more torque down, much lower in the rev band, very, I would say, rev happy, four cylinder. The only downside of that engine and the, I think, 8-speed transmission is it doesn't sound great, but that's pretty much any four cylinder turbo nowadays. But why wouldn't you want that off-road ability when you can get it?
So the other vehicle that you could also put in this class potentially is, of course, the Land Rover Defender 110. Also starts at right around 61, 62 after destination.
Which we've also owned.
For a base model, yeah. And, you know, this is also a very interesting proposition. I really do like the Defender. Realistically, you're not going to get into one for under 70. So this is going to be on the top end of the comparison.
You have to give it to Jerry McGovern, who designed it. I'm looking at it right now on the screen.
Yeah, and it's very good.
And you know, you can tell the Toyota, with especially with the round lights on the Land Cruiser, cribbed some of the design elements from the Defender.
I like the interior actually a lot more on the Defender compared to both.
Very utilitarian.
Yeah, but it's also got kind of like an air of luxury. So like you've got the exposed bolt heads, but then you've got really nice leather on the steering wheel, and you can get it on the seats, and it feels really good. And I think you can still get it with rubber floors, which is cool. So I think the Defender interior is cooler than all of them. I think that the exterior design is okay. And then, of course, the thing you have to mention, because we have to, unfortunately, is longevity. Look, we had some bad luck with one or two of ours. But from folks I've talked to, overall, they have been pretty good long-term, actually. Folks seem to be really happy with them. And there's a lot of options you can get on Defender. You can get the off-road package with the locking rear diff. You can get it with the towing package. You can get it with air suspension, which you can't get on the other vehicles. So there is some advantage to going with the Land Rover. Plus, it's got, you know, and we talked about how it's bad, but the fact of the matter is a lot of people do like that brand and that image, right?
Yeah.
And Defender does offer that brand and that image.
Yeah, Defender, you know, is, I love the look of it. I, you know, love the ride. I love the handling. I love smell of it, actually. It's got a really good smell to it. The biggest issue it has, I think there are two issues. One, and this, it can't help this unless they refresh it, it's no longer the new kid on the block.
Sure.
So when it first came out, it was like, holy cow, man. You know, they just designed something completely different from the old Defender.
Mm-hmm.
And so people are getting kind of a little bored with it to some extent. You know, if you wanted one, you would have had one by now. The other problem with it is really the operating system that Land Rover has is really slow, cumbersome, and just not intuitive. And that is something that not just Land Rover suffers with, but every automaker seems to be struggling with that right now. And we know that Apple, for instance, is going to be not just, you know, Apple CarPlay, but the actual software that runs underneath is going to be now with certain brands built by Apple. And I think that's a good thing because somehow it seems to me that automakers are really great at building cars, but really bad at building operating systems for their screens. And let's face it, today the cars and trucks are all about, you know, how they interface with your life. In other words, how they interface with your phone. And if it struggles, then it becomes kind of cumbersome and, you know, kind of off-putting to some extent.
And the other option too, which we should talk about, is the Grand Cherokee. So also in this same class. Now, Grand Cherokee does offer some things that Land Cruiser doesn't offer. Like, you can get it with the plug-in hybrid 4xe version. And, you know, on the lower end, it's certainly, if you get the gas model, you can get it in the high 30s. On the upper end, it's going to be, you know, 60, 70. So you're right in line with it. But how do you think like a 4xe Trailhawk Grand Cherokee compares to the new Land Cruiser?
Oh, wow. That's a great question. So I've got two answers for that. And this is, once again, me. So the Grand Cherokee, along with the Wagoneer and the Grand Wagoneer, have kind of moved up market. Mm-hmm. So I think they kind of set their sights more on Range Rover and Land Rover versus what they were traditionally, which would be kind of, you know, more affordable. And so to me, not in terms of off-roadiness, but in terms of luxury, you get a lot more luxury with the Grand Cherokee. It's got a lot more screens. It's got a lot more like bells and whistles you can get. It's just a much more luxurious and in some ways what's another word for luxurious?
Premium.
More premium car, yeah. Whereas the Land Cruiser is much more basic in a lot of its design elements and much more utilitarian. So to me, the Land Cruiser doesn't necessarily compete with the Jeep Grand Cherokee. It seems like the Jeep Grand Cherokee competes more with the GX these days than it does with the new Land Cruiser.
Well, but you're also forgetting, like, the Grand Cherokee spans such a wide...
It does, yeah. We had one for a while. We had the off-road Trailhawk.
I mean, keep in mind, Grand Cherokee, you've got both two and three row in the standard and the L. You know, base model, if you get a standard two-wheel drive Laredo, you're going to be looking at like 37, 38.
So here's my question. Can you actually get a standard two-wheel drive Laredo?
I don't know why you would.
Can you? I don't know if you actually can. Once again, when I go by the Jeep dealership, and I've gone by a bunch, it's all 4xe's.
Yeah. No, that's
and
true.
That includes Grand Cherokees. And what does a 4xe start at?
They're like 60.
Yeah.
But keep in mind, 60, there is some tax advantage, you know, tax credit sure. with going with the 4xe. And then if you're looking at like a Trailhawk 4xe, you know, starting at 60s before the credit, you're right in line with that Land Cruiser in pricing. Now, I think the 4xe, that electric only capability for that 20, 25 miles is very cool. I think that's really, really neat. I do agree with you. I think the interior is much more upscale than the Land Cruiser. I don't love the way that this new generation drives off-road. It's very stiff. Even though we do have a new redesigned air suspension system, it feels very firm and it doesn't feel very rugged in some ways. Like it feels a little fragile because there's just so much stiffness in the frame, and it feels like a lot of the jolts are being transmitted into the components instead of being soaked up by the tires and the suspension. Now I don't know. I haven't broken one off-road, so I could be way off base here. But I think that you're right. The exterior-wise, the new Grand Cherokee is awesome. Interior is a little too premium for me, but it is worth noting, you know, that 4xe model delivers a lot of power and it delivers a tremendous amount of torque as well. So it's a pretty high performance vehicle. It's pretty fast. I mean, yeah. 375 horsepower, so 50 more horsepower than the Land Cruiser.
Yeah.
470 pound-feet of torque. That's a lot of power.
Yeah, I'm learning to like the 2-liter turbo that Jeep puts in both this vehicle and, of course, the Wrangler. But I don't love it, Tommy. I just don't like it as much as I like the Toyota's four-cylinder turbo.
Why is that?
It just feels a little clunky. It feels less refined. It feels a little bit less less comfortable with the transmission. I think Jeep, with their 1.0 version of their 4xe, has created something that's outstanding and groundbreaking, but certainly it's the first go at it. And so there's a lot of different systems that are at play, and sometimes it feels like they're not quite dialed in yet, so that it's a seamless flow of power and torque and regenerative braking, whereas Toyota has been building hybrid systems now forever, right, as long as they are. And to me, those feel like they're really dialed in, right? If you didn't know it was a hybrid, you wouldn't guess it was a hybrid.
Yeah.
Whereas you'll know it's a hybrid when you get into the Jeep.
I think that it was originally called the Hurricane engine, actually, and now that name's been kind of applied to the six-cylinder. But the 2-liter four-cylinder, it's a little coarse. The power band is very abrupt, low end, and then there's not a lot in the upper end, and it doesn't interface very well with the hybrid system in low range. So I think there's definitely some tweaking that needs to be done there. So yeah, I mean, for me, if you're looking for an on-road vehicle only, get a standard V6 Grand Cherokee. It's great. It's really good. If you can get one for under 50, I think it's a great vehicle. If you're looking for a vehicle that's a little bit more rugged to take off-road, I would definitely lean more toward the Land Cruiser. And I haven't driven it, but just from a durability standpoint, I think that feels a little bit better screwed together. Now, if you look at the Ford lineup, so obviously Land Cruiser kind of encompasses a couple different options. You know, it encompasses maybe Explorer, Timberline, right? Because it's kind of closed-off SUV, but that's a little bit bigger. And then, of course, you've got Bronco. And Bronco has a really wild pricing model all the way from $39,000. And then you're getting Raptors now in like the $90,000 range. So yeah.
Plus markup.
I mean, huge bandwidth.
So there's no doubt that the Bronco will kill a current Land Cruiser off-road. It just will.
Sure.
It just will. It's just designed much more for off-road use than for on-road use. Having said that, the Land Cruiser will be better on-road than the Bronco. The Bronco is much better than the Jeep on-road because it doesn't have two live axles. But the Land Cruiser is just much better, at least from the little on-road, I should say, on-road driving than a Bronco is. The other thing that the Land Cruiser does well is it looks utilitarian without feeling cost-cutty. And sometimes Ford has this issue. And I'm not using the C word, cheap, because I think that's unfair. But sometimes you can really tell where the Ford accountants got to the car and started saying, nope, 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 nope. Whereas the Land Cruiser also is a little cost-cutting in some ways, but it doesn't feel cost-cutting, if you see what I'm saying.
Sure. Yeah, I understand that. I think Ford's gotten a lot better at that. I think their interior quality has gone up substantially, but there are certainly some areas that we went in our long-term Bronco where we felt like they cheaped out a little bit.
And keeping in mind, we had one of the first ones, so I'm sure they've gotten better over the years.
But I do like the Bronco. I mean, I really like its packaging. I really love its capability, especially if you can get one with that front diff lock.
Design is incredible.
Even with just the rear, yeah, the top, the door integration is better than the Jeep in most ways. I mean, it is such a cool vehicle. And they've been out for long enough now, too, right? Part of the issue with buying a Land Cruiser or a 4Runner or whatever is that they are brand new and there's a lot of anticipation, and you're going to have to, if you're not in line already, you're going to have to get in line, fight with markups, fight with dealers, fight with availability, and that's a very stressful experience. Whereas, you know, the Broncos now, you can just go to any Ford dealer and there's going to have six of them on the lot. You pick one, it's probably not going to be marked up. There might even be some money on the hood. You drive out the door and you got a really cool vehicle that you can take the doors and the top off of.
And I love the Heritage Edition.
Yeah, the Heritage Edition. Oh my God,
they're
really
so good
cool.
looking. Yeah, especially the white roof. You know, the blue one there, Tommy.
Yeah,
that is. I love that.
Yeah,
does it have a white? I thought it had a white roof.
Yeah, I have the roof off.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, there you go. Now you got the white
stripes
roof.
Yeah. on. Yeah, the Heritage Editions are cool, but this is the Heritage Limited Edition. I mean, look at the price on this. We're knocking on the door of 70 G's here. 72. Holy moly. So that is some big money, although you can get the basic one for
less. Well, it's up there with the first edition Land Cruiser. So price-wise, they're right in line with each other. But I think what you said is hugely important. If you're one of those people who needs to be first, then, you know, get ready to fight for our Land Cruiser because everybody wants one. People are super excited by them. And Toyota has this kind of interesting way of allocating vehicles in that you can't really go and build one online and then, you know, wait for it to be delivered to your dealer. Toyota just builds what they think that people want, and then they deliver them to dealers, and the dealers have to kind of swap cars among themselves. And that's not going to happen with Land Cruisers until there's a lot more of them built.
For sure, yeah. No, I think you're on the money. I mean, Bronco, look, you can get a basic Heritage Edition for 50s, high 40s, yeah. And keep in mind, Bronco, you also have a choice of a manual transmission, which you don't get in the Land Cruiser. You also have the option for that EcoBoost V6. So if you do really need V6 power, you get it in the Bronco. And then, I mean, of course, the last key to the pie here that we need to talk about is the Wrangler. You know, and Wrangler and Land Cruiser have never really competed in recent decades, but now that Land Cruiser is in that mid-50s territory, I certainly think there's going to be a certain level of cross-shopping going on.
Yeah, no doubt.
And Wrangler, you know, you can get it with 4xe, as you mentioned. Most of them you're going to find on the dealers are going to be 4xe's.
It's funny, you know, if we had done this podcast like 4 years ago, I would have said Wrangler people or Jeep people are Jeep people and they're never switch. But then I met a lot of people who fought Broncos who used to like be diehard Jeep people. And I'm not saying there isn't still a diehard Jeep community, but you know, 4 years ago, I would have said it's if you want an off-roader, it's either a Wrangler or nothing. Mm-hmm. But now, I don't know. I think it's much more fluid. I think people like to mix and match. I think they like to try different flavors. And the problem the Jeep is having is that the JL is getting also old.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's been out since 2018. It was refreshed in 2024. In my opinion, they didn't do enough to refresh it. They gave it a new grille, bigger screen, power seat. That's cool. And, you know, I'm sure that the corporate would tell you they also cut costs. But realistically, the costs of these vehicles in person, in dealers, are going to be crazy high. I mean, this Willys 4xe, you're going to be mid to high 50s for even a basic one.
But once again, you get the tax break because it is, you know,
an EV. Yeah, plug-in hybrid, and you get 20 miles of all-electric range. So, yeah, I mean, I think the way that Jeep really broke away from the crowd, especially Bronco when it came out, is they started diversifying the powertrain. So you had V6, 2-liter, plug-in hybrid, V8, and that was a good strategy. And now they're kind of stuck. You know, there's not a whole lot to really elevate it in some ways above the competition until they start maybe and even inevitably cutting the price because it is getting older. And I do think that some of its on-road capabilities are somewhat compromised.
I think you saw that graph with the Gladiator, right? When it first came out, they were, and they still are, you know, sticker priced at the top end of the midsize pickup truck world.
Sure.
Yeah. But now if you go to your local Jeep dealer, you'll see Gladiators in the lot with, like, you know, serious money on the hood because people, the problem is those who wanted it have bought it. And now, you know, the rest of the world is looking at other vehicles that
they're starting to crash up.
Yeah, that's kind of scratching that itch for the off-roader.
So of all the vehicles we talked about, now that you've driven the Land Cruiser a little bit, and the GX and the Bronco and the Wrangler and the Defender and the Ineos, if you want to go crazy expensive, which one is your favorite?
All right, if I wanted a daily something, I would definitely get the Land Cruiser.
Not the GX?
Not the GX because it's you know, once again, it's very expensive and it's a little too premium. So if I want, you know, but if I want to daily something and then actually do serious off-roading, and I'm talking about Toyotas only, okay?
Well, no, you have to talk about all of it.
I'll add those into a second. let me extend this podcast. We got an hour, Tommy. So if I want daily and take it off-road, I would get the GX if money were no object. But if I were to get any of the new Toyotas, it would be the 4Runner. I haven't driven it, but I've seen it. I fell in love with it, the 4Runner Trail Hunter.
Okay.
Now talk about Bronco and the Wrangler. I love Wranglers and I love Broncos, but for me, those are kind of off the list because I get bored and I've been there and done that.
Okay.
So, you know, right now the most exciting thing we own is a 1945 Jeep Military MB. And that gets me so excited because it's a whole new world of Jeep that I have yet to explore. And I drove it once and I just absolutely fell in love with it. And not that there's anything wrong with Wranglers, but like I say, been there, done that a lot. You know, certainly one of the most capable off-roaders. Same thing with the Defender, kind of been there, done that. And so I'm ready to move on to something new. And, you know, I can't say which one I would buy if I could only buy one because I haven't driven the 4Runner. We really have an off-road of the GX and we really have an off-road of the Land Cruiser. So I've kind of given you kind of a basic best I can description of what I would buy.
Yeah, and I think you're right. We do need more hands-on time with Land Cruiser and GX, and then, of course, 400 no one has driven. I mean, I think for me, I do agree that I think if you do have the money, the GX is a better package than the Land Cruiser.
It might be the one for the people in the know.
Yeah, but I don't think I could justify spending $69 on a new vehicle that I was going to take off-road. I think that the 400 looks very cool, but I'm not a big fan of the styling.
Fair.
So I think it looks cool in a very futuristic way, but it's a little busy. So I like Land Cruiser more than 4Runner. And then, you know, when you bring in the competition, Defender is cool, but it's just too expensive. Especially, you know, if you're going to be in the mid-60s, you're going to be four-cylinder, and I don't love that four-cylinder Defender. So that's kind of, if I had 80, I'd go Defender. That's off the list, though, because just pricing.
Well, if I had 200, I'd go G-Wagon.
Yeah, same thing. Yeah. Same thing with the Ineos. It's just too expensive.
Yeah.
I think that the Wrangler is a little old, and it's just too compromised on road now for most folks as a daily driver. It just needs to be better in a lot of ways, for the price point.
The problem
it's just
I have
not.
With the Wrangler is I just can't move the seat far enough back. I just drove the Gladiator, same problem all the way from Moab here. And I just always, every time I got into the thing, I would reach for the, now that it's electric control, and I was always trying to scoot it back another inch. And that's a me problem because I've got a weird torso, short body, long legs. But yeah, I just need a little bit more room.
So then that leaves the Bronco. And I kind of still think that the Bronco offers the best compromise between crazy off-road capability, but still pretty good on-road, but you can still take the top off. And you can get a manual transmission, and you can get a front locker. And, yeah, I mean, I really do like that Bronco. I mean, I think it's going to be between me. It's going to be between Bronco and Land Cruiser. I'd like to get them side by side. I haven't driven the Land Cruiser. Maybe it's phenomenal. So I'm really excited to spend some time in that. But just initial impressions, I'm still leaning more toward the Ford over the Toyota because of the top-off capability and because you can get one fairly well equipped for under 50.
Yeah, you fell in love with that Everglades, didn't you, when you went
on
the
program? Yeah, I did like that Everglades. Yeah. That was really cool. That was some good off-roading.
The factory winch.
We did some good off-roading in that trip.
Yeah, it's also amazing that, like, right now, and I know we're just at the beginning of the Land Cruiser rollout, but there aren't a lot of the serious off-road add-ons that I would want. You know what I'm saying?
Well, no one has them.
What?
No one has them.
Here, Bronco has them. You can get a Bronco with a factory winch.
You mean like Toyota itself?
Yeah, yeah.
Optioning.
Yeah, they're leaving once again. They're doing the same thing that the other manufacturers did, and they're leaving a lot of room, you know, a lot of money on the table for aftermarket. And I'm just curious about why don't do that, Toyota. There's so much more you could do to the Land Cruiser, and I'm just not talking about bumpers, but you know, give it some like better off-road worthy tires. From the factory.
So the first edition does come with a lot of that stuff. It's got the rock rails and the roof rack. It's got
more overlandy stuff.
Yeah, it's got the mud guards, right? So it's got some stuff.
Mud guards, Tommy. Well, you can get a Jeep now with 35s from the factory with the Extreme
Recon package. I know. It'd be really cool, like, if they did a factory winch. I think that would be awesome. If they did TRD skid plates, if they did a 2-inch lift, like, that all should be factory option.
And, like, you know, here's a great opportunity. Incorporate Onyx, you know, one of our partners, which is great off-road, which shows you. Jeep does that with a different provider, but I'm saying if I were Toyota, I'd be reaching out to Onyx and saying, hey, could I have the software built into the vehicle so that I can, you know, go and explore places that are much more off-road than on-road?
Yeah. No, I think
just
that would be really
basic
smart.
Basic stuff like that, you know?
I mean, the one I probably wouldn't get, that first edition, I think, is a big premium over Land Cruiser. And it doesn't get you that much more. I think that's Toyota's capitalizing on the fact that people want to have it first, which is ultimately a smart business move. And people are going to pay.
Yeah, you know, like we did with the Cybertruck. By getting the Foundation series and then not getting it first.
Yeah, that
first.
Went really,
yeah,
really well.
Worked. That worked brilliantly. And, you know, Gladiator did the same thing, too. A lot of people got really pissed off because the first edition Gladiators eventually were delivered after the base ones. Yeah, that's not a good look if you're an automaker.
But looks like Toyota is doing the first editions first.
Yes,
so that is a good move. Don't get me wrong. That's a smart move.
It would seem a logical move.
It would seem a logical,
logical move. Yes.
But I think I would, if it was my money, I would wait for the 58 or the Land Cruiser spec. I mean, let the people get their first editions first and have fun with them and be jealous for a few months, but then save, like, some cases $10,000 to get the the Land Cruiser's back.
So there's another problem with the Land Cruiser, which we haven't discussed, and we can close on this, okay?
Okay.
Color choices. So I love the 1958, but...
There's three bad colors, black, white, and gray.
Yeah, I know. Refrigerator, I hate black, and I hate gray. Could you get less interesting colors? I mean, it's almost like they did it on purpose to make you...
Well, I think they probably did.
Yeah, but I hate that too. Don't do that. Don't decontent the base one to make you, or at least if you're going to decontent it, don't decolor it to make you jump up to the next one up. And even if you go to the next one, right, the Land Cruiser, there's that blue one, which is cool. Mm-hmm. But the rest of the colors are also so...
I mean, they're...
So boring.
They're very muted.
Yeah. You really almost have to go to the first edition to get anything that's at all like unique and interesting.
Yeah, but the first edition is the same color.
It's got that gold or sandy or whatever.
You can get
bronze.
That on the Land Cruiser too.
Can you?
I think they're betting that folks buying the Land Cruiser are going to be a little bit more grown up and mature.
Where is the forest green?
The Forerunner is going to have those.
Where is the red?
I think Forerunner is going to have all the fun colors.
Yeah. Yeah. That's not no. Don't give people choice. Please give people love having choice.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, folks. Well, we'd love to hear what you think about the upcoming four-wheel drive wars. Toyota had such a big few months with this, and they're really cranking out some cool stuff. We just need to get them out to Colorado, out to Utah.
You want
to
do a little bit of a rant?
No.
I think you should. You've been really upset about that Lexus that we have now this week. So we have a Lexus RX 450H+.
Yes.
Yes, and it just beeps constantly at us.
It does beep a lot.
And we had the same problem with the Tacoma. It's like Toyota's getting a little too nanny-ish with their products.
So, like, for example, so it snowed today, so it beeps that the parking sensors are blocked, okay?
And then you turn it off.
Hang on. Okay. Beeps that the parking sensors are blocked, so you start driving, it stops beeping, and then it gives you a warning on the dash. It says parking sensors are blocked. And then you're like, clear it? All right, I know they're blocked. Drive for another couple minutes. Parking sensors are blocked. Clear it. Drive for a couple minutes. Parking sensors are blocked. So you have to go into the screen and turn out the parking sensors. That was great. Figure that out. Drove along another 5-10 minutes to get a warning. Oh, your adaptive cruise is blocked. Oh, okay. Clear that. Adaptive cruise is blocked. Your radar sensors. And I'm like, then I turned off like the driving assist and it still got the warning. So they just need to be a little bit less naggy with some of their warnings.
Yeah. How about your attention warning?
Yep. That I did figure out you can just go into the screen and disable, and thank God, because every time you look out the window, it says driver inattention.
That's not just Toyota. That's a lot of, yeah.
Yeah, that was really, really bad. But yeah, it's just a little fussy, and then the electronic door handles, no one over the age of 60 can figure out. So there's a button you push.
That includes me, Tommy.
And you have to push the button and the door at the same time, but if you push the button in the wrong direction, then it tries to do the manual version, and then the old people get really confused.
I got to the point. I got so confused that I'm now using the manual door method.
Well, it's just a mess.
Pull it out twice to override the electronic door.
If you're not in park, then it doesn't want to unlock, and it's just a lot of fuss with it. So I think that's bad. The powertrain's great. I really like the plug-in hybrid system. It's a very comfortable car. The seats are good.
They've gone full beluga whale.
Yeah, it is not good.
No.
But the car is very comfortable. It's a little too expensive. This one's like mid-70s.
I see clouds in the horizon because the RX is Lexus's most popular car. It's the one by far. It sells more than any. I think it sells more than all the other models combined. And they didn't nail it, Tommy. They just didn't nail it in this generation, and that's a problem for Lexus.
Well, yeah, but they have so many other great cars.
I mean, once again, it's the most. It's the one you got to get right.
But their crossover lineup now. I mean, it used to be they only had the RX and like the GX and now LX and NX and the UX.
It's still the sweet spot kind of the size and then money
just
wise.
A little fussy, but yeah. A good car. It's just fussy.
I see a mid-cycle refresh coming sooner than later on the RX.
Well, I hope they fix the front end because it's very angular.
All right, well, that was our rant. Thank you guys for watching. If you have any questions, leave a comment. We do read our comments. And, of course, if you want to see the video of me and Andre comparing the two Land Cruisers, go to alltfl.com. We really appreciate you guys listening because without you, we couldn't do this. And we shall see you next time.
Yep. Ciao.
Ciao. Bye.
Work takes up most of your time. That's why you should use Stamps.com to save time with your mailing and shipping, and have flexibility to focus on more important things. Stamps.com can handle all your mailing and shipping needs, with rates up to 88% off USPS and UPS. Add flexibility to your day with Stamps.com. Go to stamps.com/program to sign up for a special offer. No contract, cancel anytime. That's stamps.com/program.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.